7 o'clock. Good morning, rise and shine. How you doing, Pyle? Jim Davis, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. So week one of the NFL. Back to pretty much normal, but wild initial weekend of the NFL where you had some surprising games. Last night's game, no exception. Overtime win for the Raiders. Knocking off the Baltimore Ravens last night. Overtime. Looks like they're going to kick the field goal. They decide not to kick the field goal. Then they get hit with a delay game penalty. And then Derek Carr goes to Zay Jones for the game-winning touchdown last night. The Raiders, the Broncos, the Chiefs, the Chargers all win. AFC West all win in week one. But which game was the most surprising? Was that game last night with the Raiders? First time they've had fans at Allegiant Stadium? Is it that game? Was it the Steelers knocking off the Bills? Was it the Bengals beating the Vikings? Was it the way the Saints took care of Green Bay?
That's it for me. That boat racing, just whitewashing.
I mean, for the Saints to win, okay.
Not entirely surprised.
Because their defense is really good, and there was uncertainty about Jameis Winston, and I get that.
I mean, with what they're going through with the hurricane and everything,
yeah.
wouldn't have shocked me for the Packers to win either.
Yeah, having to play that game in Jacksonville, but here's the
way
thing.
That game went down.
And hearing Matt LaFleur's comments, Packers head coach, they just played with more intensity than we did.
Wait a minute, that's not good.
Wait a minute, neutral site. You're the Packers. You've got your guy back.
Mm-hmm.
You've managed to calm the waters with Aaron Rodgers. It's a team that was in the NFC Championship game last year. You have the the NFC MVP back in the fold. Relatively happy at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And you go and play that badly?
Yeah, that was surprising.
I think we probably agree on that, though. I do feel like what the Steelers did with the Bills going there and winning that football game, I think it was a little surprising. But I tend to agree with you. You expected Green Bay to play better than that. So it was a neutral site. And it seemed like, okay, everything's good now for the moment. For the time being. Long term, probably not. Probably he's gone. Maybe it's Denver. I don't know.
I mean, but I was surprised about the Steelers winning. I was surprised about the Texans. I was surprised
the Cardinals
handled
the Titans the way they did.
Right. I was surprised the 49ers played so well. Like, I know we expected them to be good, but 41 points on the road, good?
Yeah.
You know.
But then again, the Lions fought back in that game.
That's true.
Lions were better than I think, certainly it's week one, better than a lot of us thought with Jared Goff.
But if I'm listing the most surprising, 38-3, the Saints-Packers,
it would be number one to me, Bills-Steelers number two.
That's a rubberneck score.
Probably Arizona-Tennessee number three.
Yeah, I expected Tennessee to put up a little more fight in that game. I would have Steelers Bills a little bit lower than two. I don't know why I wasn't entirely like knocked out of my chair shocked about that. I saw the score come up and I was like, not nearly like some of the other games though.
Yeah, I just feel like
I can't figure out why.
Going there and winning, that was impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, against the team that was in the AFC Championship game last year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Steelers did start 11-0 last year.
I know, but they also went into a big skid.
Yeah.
After that.
But I also think reports of their demise are a little bit overblown right now. And I hate saying, you know how much it pains me to
say
that.
I get that.
They still have Big Ben. They still have
who put up
T.J. Watt.
Pretty pedestrian numbers Roethlisberger did against the Bills. But, you know, good enough to get it done.
But there's something to be said for experience and guile, too, right?
That's true.
Like, if I'm saying it's a one-score game, you know, on the road, am I taking Ben or Josh Allen?
But it's also
probably take Ben.
It's also which team do you believe in though right
now?
True. Do you believe in the 11-0 Steelers or the Steelers? I mean, going into that game or the team that finished the season the way they did.
And the Bills to me are a little bit like the Browns. Until I see it, I'm never really gonna believe.
But I also value that they got to the AFC Championship game.
True. They should have been playing the Browns in that game.
Well, probably so.
Stupid rule anyway.
So which I still think that's an impressive win. I still love that number two. Though I'll say Arizona at Tennessee pushes that pretty hard.
Yeah.
You know the one of them that was talked about being the big upset that didn't really surprise me? Mm-hmm. Cincinnati. I don't think Minnesota's that good. And I think Cincinnati's gotten a lot.
I don't think Minnesota's that good.
And I think Cincinnati's gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
I mean, let's give the Bengals their due.
A couple weeks ago, somebody said, it was a national show, and they said, Cincinnati could bank the playoffs. Actually, I don't think it was a national show. I think Cody said it. That
Cody
the Bengals
say
could
that,
be better. Like they're one
and
of
Dan
his...
Patrick has also said he thinks they're quite a bit better.
Yeah, he's a Bengals fan.
I know, but still.
No.
But I mean, he's a national guy who has been pimping him a little bit. But but Cody's the one who said, keep your eye on the Bengals. And week one, and I also don't think the Vikings
are as
good. And
we kind of looked at each other like, really? But I
ended up agreeing with them, like, yeah, you know, they've got Ja'Marr Chase now, favorite target of Joe Burrow when they were at LSU. Burrow played really well last year until he had the knee injury.
They're not a distant fourth in that division anymore, though.
No. Where do you rank last night's game? I don't think it's a stunner.
Is it surprising purely because the Raiders won? If they played well and lost, is that game surprising?
And tried to screw themselves up at the very end of the game, but still Derek Carr bails them out and they win the football game.
I'm not too terribly surprised.
I don't think
the Raiders are going to be good in the long run. I don't think they're going to be great, but they're going to be competitive, I think. They have a lot of good pieces there. I mean, they have Max Crosby. They have
Darren Waller.
Waller, Carr.
Max Crosby, Carl Nassib.
Yeah, the...
Carl Nassib, excuse me. Made a big play last night.
Yeah, he did.
The big play on the Lamar Jackson fumble.
I was very, very disappointed the Browns let him walk a couple years ago. Ruggs. Sorry, I couldn't think of his name.
Henry Ruggs III.
Yeah, the other Alabama wideout with Jerry Jones.
Yeah, there's so many of those guys now, right? Devontae Smith, Najee Harris, Patrick Surtain.
Yeah.
Tua, Jalen Hurts.
There's a lot of good pieces there. Speaking of guys that played surprisingly well, Jalen Hurts.
Played really well week one.
On the road in Atlanta.
Yeah. Last night didn't shock me. I also don't know how good Baltimore is.
Yeah. Without J.K. Dobbins, I'm not sure how balanced they're going to be.
Mm-hmm. I think Lamar Jackson does really well when he's got the run game to complement what he brings to the run game.
Right.
Opens up passing windows.
When he's not the run game.
Right.
He does really well.
And that's going to be a test for John Harbaugh. Are they going to be able to find a way to complement Lamar Jackson? And look, last night their defense gave up a lot of points. Very ballyhooed, Ravens defense gave up. I mean, I get it. They were on the road, but they gave up a lot of points last night. Mm-hmm. So,
fresh off it saying the Raiders have a lot of good pieces. The Raiders are middle of the pack offense. They shouldn't be scoring 30 points on defense like the Ravens supposedly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. The Raiders offense is okay. But I think if you're the Ravens, you have to worry about what you saw last night. If you're a Ravens fan.
If you're the Ravens, you're worried about
Petey.
All three phases.
Yeah. I still think, though, Green Bay, New Orleans, the way New Orleans played.
That's number one.
I mean, not that it was so shocking how they played. Because I thought Winston would be fine.
I thought he'd be that good, though?
Not to the tune of five touchdowns good. I thought like 275.
I mean, he only threw for like 90 yards. Yeah, but that's like 160 yards.
But he had a lot of short fields to work with and didn't have to rack up a ton of yardage.
I think I was more surprised about how their defense played than their offense.
Their defense is really good, and we should not, because that's the one area that for Sean Payton's football team that has improved dramatically with Dennis Allen there over the years. That unit has gotten better and better and better.
You think all of Drew Brees' new follicles were like, where was this defense the last seven years?
Their defense has been there, though. I mean, it's not like it just suddenly showed up.
But there are times. I mean, that defense was... Yeah.
Prior to the last probably 2-3 years, I'd agree with you on that. Last couple of years, no, it's not been the case. That defense has gotten dramatically better.
Yeah. Like, when he first came into the league, Marshawn Lattimore was looking around that room like, anybody else going to tackle anybody? Anybody else going to cover anybody? Just me? All right.
Yeah, just, I guess it's going to be up to me. And when you look at defensive rankings, I'm trying to find here. The Saints are typically top 10, no worse than top 15. So that's a unit that's been really pretty good the last couple of seasons in particular. So... Yeah, I still think Green Bay, New Orleans, with the way, more about how Green Bay played than how New Orleans played. So the biggest surprise of the weekend, and a weekend full of surprises, you can text or call us 970-242-1340. So love to hear from you today on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. All right, so we have a lot to get to. Florida Monument softball coach Adam Diaz will join us coming up in just a little bit. I had a chance to actually talk with him yesterday. We'll have a big Southwestern League softball showdown tonight right here on the team.
Yeah.
Defending league champion Central taking on Florida Monument. So we'll have coverage of that. Vern McGee. Vern's going to get his baptism tonight calling the Central Florida Monument softball game. 6:45 pregame for that one on the Team Sports Network. So we'll have that coming up from Colorado Mesa from their softball field tonight as the Warriors take on the Wildcats. All right, text or call today. And don't forget, we're now into week 2 officially of the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Get signed up for Pile Pigskin Pick'em.
I got the email last night that the submission deadline had passed. Like, you can no longer put in picks for week 1. Thanks.
Kind of thought that. Would be,
that was Thursday, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, you could still technically...
It's early, yeah. It's first week for everybody.
You could still technically... You could do it Friday. That's true. Thursday's game just wouldn't have counted.
So.
Or Saturday. You could have done it Saturday. But yeah, it's still funny. Okay. Yeah, if you didn't... If you're only picking the Monday Night Football game, you're not going to do very well.
Probably not
going to
get much of anything.
You are not going to win that gift card from Play It Again Sports at Valley Plaza. $1,000 gift card. To get all kinds of amazing sporting goods out at Play It Again Sports. Also, you have a chance to win that Traeger grill from Fruita Co-op Country. And then our overall points winner, a cooler full of Bud Light Seltzer, sweet NFL cooler from Central Distributing. Of course, we'll have weekly prizes as well. And since there's another company that does this, we don't do this.
Right.
We'll get you the week 1 winner as soon as we get that name.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the standings right now, and you are 1 point ahead of me, but 15 places on the ranks. So that's let you know just how jumbled it is right now.
It's very tight.
Very tight.
Very tight. So get signed up now, and if you didn't play week 1, that's okay.
You've got a chance.
You've got plenty of time. Hop in week 2, because the weekly winners are going to get into the drawing for the $1,000 gift card from Play It Again Sports and that Traeger Pro Grill from Fruita Co-op Country. So you still have plenty of time. Just go to our website. You must be 21, by the way.
Yeah.
Theteam1340.com to get signed up for Pile Pigskin Pick'em. All right. It is 7:14 and it's time for...
What's happening?
All right. Start out with last night, Monday Night Football, and it was a wild one last night at Allegiant Stadium. Las Vegas Raiders
looked good with people in it.
It looked great last night, hosting the Baltimore Ravens, and last night It was a 33-27 win for the Raiders over the Baltimore Ravens. You had a fourth quarter that ended with Justin Tucker's 47-yard field goal. Daniel Carlson hitting from, I think, what, the Golden Nugget last night?
Yeah.
55-yard field goal.
He hit from Fremont Street, for sure.
Raiders won the toss in overtime, setting themselves up for a game-winning touchdown from the start. And it looked all but certain after a Derek Carr pass to Bryan Edwards was marked down at the Baltimore one after review. But a quarterback sneak went for nothing. Then on second and goal, rookie right tackle Alex Leatherwood was called for a false start. Two plays later, Carr's pass to Willie Sneed was picked off by Ravens corner Anthony Avert, who was in for the injured Marcus Peters. They gave the ball to Lamar Jackson and company. Unfortunately for the Ravens, Carl Nassib strip sacks Jackson, giving the ball back to the Vegas Raiders at the Baltimore 27. Two plays later, after there's confusion about, okay, we're going to kick a field goal here. Mm-hmm. What are we doing? Well, they end up getting hit with a delay of game penalty. And so Chucky says, all right, offense, stay on the field. Here's the final play last night. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, Westwood 1, right here on the team, your game-winning play in overtime.
A car is running back on the field, and the field goal unit is coming off. What in the world is going on out here? They want to get closer. It's second down and 14. 3:44 to go. The field goal unit was so slow to get on the field, they got to delay a game. So they moved it back to the Baltimore 31. So it's second down and 14. Carr is in the gun. 31-yard line to Baltimore.
What else can happen, Kevin?
I don't know. Let's see. Carr's going to get the shotgun snap. They blitz from the side. It's picked up. He throws an arching pass down the side. It's caught at the 5. Touchdown, Zay Jones! The Raiders have won! On a touchdown pass of 31 yards!
So there you go. Your game-winning play, the Raiders. With the first time they've had fans at Allegiant Stadium, they knock off the Ravens in overtime. Elsewhere, for the first time since becoming the Broncos head coach, Vic Fangio got to speak to his team with a 1-0 record. Denver's 27-13 victory over the Giants was the first time during Fangio's tenure the team has won a game in September. He says it doesn't change their approach.
Well, I'm sure it's a relief for a lot of people, yeah. I mean, there's much been said about it because it's true. But the approach will still be the same. We're going to grade, critique the game, learn from it, and then put all our focus both mentally and physically into the Jacksonville.
All right, so there's Vic Fangio on the Broncos. The approach doesn't change, even with the win over the Giants. A couple of notes on the injury front. Wide receiver Jerry Jeudy suffering a high ankle sprain, and that was confirmed yesterday by Vic Fangio at the press conference. Also, guard Graham Glasgow played 63 of the Broncos, 66 snaps on offense, stayed back in New Jersey. He had an irregular heartbeat, and Glasgow tweeting his thanks for fan support and hopes for a speedy recovery. And yesterday, Vic said that Netani Mutu will probably get the start for Glasgow when Denver goes to Jacksonville on Sunday, unless that situation changes dramatically with Glasgow. So Broncos at Jacksonville this Sunday, pregame at 9, kickoff at 11 on the Team Sports Network. A sad, horrible story involving Justin Bannon, former CU Buffaloes and Denver Broncos defensive lineman, been found guilty in a shooting of a woman in Boulder. According to the Colorado Sun, Bannon shot and injured a woman in her shoulder in 2019 while he was reportedly on drugs and claiming the mafia was after him. He pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity. He was convicted Friday by a Boulder County jury of attempted first-degree murder. His sentencing is scheduled for November 5th. Bannon played for the Buffs from 97 to 2001. He was a member of the Broncos in 2010 and 2012. The Central Warrior softball team's off to a strong start after finishing fourth at the Dave Sanders Memorial Tournament. The 9-3 Warriors face Southwestern League rival Fruita Monument tonight in a clash at Colorado Mesa. The Warriors' bats have been hot with some upperclassmen taking charge. Central coach Aaron Burke says the top of his lineup has been producing.
Two seniors leading the way there in our 1 and 4 hole, and Bailey doing what she needs to do in the 3 hole. If we can continue to have the production that we got out of those three kids and fill in the rest of our lineup, I think it'll be a fun season for us.
For the 5-6 Wildcats, they have a veteran presence in Lauren Lee, but freshman Lacey Rodobaugh and sophomore Ava Stevens lead the team with 568 batting averages.
What I like about it, though, is we're getting better. As long as we keep progressing and getting 1% better every day going into the end of the season, we'll be fine. We've got a young team, and a lot of those young girls have stepped up and played well for us.
Wildcats head coach Adam Diaz. You can catch the game tonight on the team pregame at 6:45. Montrose golfer Noah Richmond plays second to lead the Indians to a first-place tie at the Hillcrest Open at Durango. Richmond finished with a 2-over par 73, with Montrose finishing in a tie with Montezuma Cortez. Fruto Monument was third, with Grand Junction fourth. Central took ninth. Panthers golfer Thayer Pleawe won the individual title, with the Wildcats' Cade Hayward third of the 74. Tigers golfer Jack Hall was fourth with his 76. The Palisade golf team took third at the Bulldog Invitational at the Yampa Valley Golf Course in Craig. Steamboat won the team title with Cedar Edge 11th. Palisade's Alex Morrell posted an 80 to tie for 7th. Colorado Mesa golfer Ellie Walters is tied for 5th, heading to the final round of the Swan Memorial at Thornton. Walters posted back-to-back 76s, with the Mavs sitting in 6th in the team standings. CMU men's golfer Timmy Carvara, Carvano is tied for 16th at the men's event at the Bear Creek course. The Mavericks are currently tied for 7th at that golf tournament. And a quick college football note, USC has fired head coach Clay Helton. And that's a quick look at
what's happening.
All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye boy today, the most surprising game from week one for you. Send that in today. Text or call us 970-242-1340. Coming up next hour, you'll have a chance to play Stadium Cinema, by the way, so that'll be heading your way later on. Also coming up in a few minutes, Fruto Monument softball coach Adam Diaz, and we'll talk college football with Wyatt Thompson. Skylar Thompson, south of the Wildcats, their quarterback, hurt again. Guy's had a rough injury history.
Any relation?
I believe no. Okay. I do not believe. We can ask Wyatt.
His
I don't think
maybe
so.
Or something?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We can ask him. I don't think they're related.
Pretty rare name, Thompson.
Yeah, because nobody has that name. It's like Davis. Nobody has that name. Now, Van Gilder?
That's pretty rare.
I will give you that. Sounds very distinguished.
Yeah.
You're not nearly distinguished enough to have that moniker.
No, although there are some spelling differences that almost got me in hot water with a judge once.
Oh.
So.
You want to share that story quickly?
So I had jury duty. So there's another guy in town, had the same name as my dad, just one extra letter. Had the U in the last name that a lot of people put in mine that's not there. I never met him, but we'd get mail and calls because the names are right next to each other in the phone book. Turns out he was on jury duty the same time I was, and the judge asked me if I was related, and my normal personality came out in a professional-like setting.
Bad time to do that, dude.
And I said, is it spelled the same? And the judge said, no. I'm like, well, I guess not then. And he looked at me for like a good 4 seconds, and I thought I was going to jail. So,
What were you thinking, dude?
To be honest, I wasn't.
Obviously, you weren't.
It's but you know how frustrated I get when my name's spelled wrong. So that's kind of what
I know,
because
like, I've misspelled your name before, even though I've known you for a very long time, and you've
it's not spelled the same. We're not related.
You lose your crap over it.
It's like if somebody spelled, you know, Davis differently or whatever.
Oh, I've had that happen before. You know,
that's Johnson or Johnston. Are you guys related? No, it's a different name.
It's an entirely different name. Hey, I've been called Tim Davies before, all right? So, yeah.
I mean, bring that back. I don't know. That sounds fun.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back 7:23 on the other side. Fruto Monument softball coach Adam Diaz. That's coming up on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warped, twisted individuals. Yes.
Yeah!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking through the Monument Wildcat Sports on The Jim Davis Show.
Okay, Adam Diaz. With us, Adam Diaz, the coach of the Fruto Monument softball team. Adam, always appreciate the time. And I know that you probably learned a lot about your ball club playing in the Dave Sanders Memorial Tournament this past weekend. It's always one of the more prestigious tournaments in the state of Colorado for softball, and it's always the best of the best, the creme de la creme, and you had a chance to measure your Wildcats up against some of that really good competition in the Dave Sanders tournament.
Yes, we did. It was really good competition. Showed where we stood as individuals as well as the team, what we needed to work on. What I liked about them by the end of the tournament, placing the Gates Foundation ranked number 2 in the state, and then Eagle Crest number 5. we kept getting better. We hit the ball well. Obviously, they made the plays, but the girls were getting better. And that's the way the season's been going. As long as we keep progressing, we'll be fine.
You wrapped it up with the loss to Eagle Crest in a close one, 6-4. Mountain Vista, a 14-8 loss. And you know, when you look at your team from an offensive standpoint, I think not a lot of complaints there. I mean, this Wildcats lineup can really, really hit the softball. I mean, you're currently hitting at a .437 batting average. So offensively, Adam, have to be pleased with what you've seen from your softball team.
Oh, very pleased. Like I said, start of the season, some of the Felix Columbus losses, we've helped them out by, you know, mental as well as physical errors. What I like about it, though, is we're getting better. As long as we keep progressing and getting 1% better every day, going into the end of the season, we'll be fine. We've got a young team, and a lot of those young girls have stepped up and played well for us.
Before I talk about some of your young players, and you've got a lot of them that are really producing at the plate, got to talk about the senior, Lauren Lee. She has been a constant for you and a part of this Fruto Monument softball team for quite some time.
Yes, she is. She's a great leader. She's one of our team captains. And she has come through. She's a competitor. She loves it. She loves the game. And she always leaves the field, leading everything on the field.
Adam Diaz, coach of the Fruto Monument softball team, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. And you've had a freshman that's had an outstanding season. She leads you in batting average right now, Adam. That's Lacey Rodabaugh. Ava Stevens, a sophomore, she's also one of your top hitters and top run producers and batting average as well. Those two youngsters show that the future is pretty promising for Fruto Monument softball.
It is. It's very promising. What I like about it, we're a very young program, and we got a lot of competition, which you have to have in your programs. You have to have to keep those starters sharp. You know, they know those girls that are on the bench are waiting for their opportunity to play ball. It's great to have that in the team conference. And those two girls you mentioned have just really exploded. They've really embraced their roles on the team and have come through for us.
Now you take on the Central Warriors. They were a Final Four team last year in the 5A state softball tournament. Scott Elser, a longtime coach, is still there coaching as an assistant. Aaron Burke has taken over as the head coach for the Central Warriors. But the kind of players that they have, the kind of softball they play, Adam, that hasn't changed. They're 9-3. They finished fourth at the Dave Sanders Memorial Tournament, and they have some seniors that have really led the way, certainly did last year when they made the Final Four in 5A. Sedona Johnston and Kennedy Viss, those two players, Bailey Ritterbush, the junior as well, has hit the heck out of the softball. So they've, once again, have a very potent offensive lineup.
Yes, they do. They have a great program. They always have. They have a great summer program as well. That's what we're trying to emulate, and until someone knocks them off, they're definitely the front runners of our conference.
When you look at Central, and it's kind of like when we talked about with the Dave Sanders Memorial Tournament, that's a great tournament to gauge, you know, where your softball team is, but you don't have to drive all that far, really, when you think about this game tomorrow night. You know, at Colorado Mesa, at their softball complex, you're going to face, you know, one of the better teams in 5A softball in this Central Warrior softball team. So you don't have to drive very far to, once again, test how good your team is.
No, not at all. Like I said, they're a great program, and it's great to have them in our conference. It keeps us sharp. We set goals on when we play them, what we want to accomplish as individuals as well as a team. We definitely want to be at their level and play high at a high level. So we're excited. We always, you know, how it is when you got rivals. Throw the records away and let's play a good game. I'm hoping for a really good game and great game softball.
I know you're like Wendy Serrano over at Grand Junction. You're trying to build the program where you're at. Wendy over at Grand Junction trying to do the same. And I know that in talking with Adam Burke, he has a lot of respect for the way you're putting your program together at Fruto Monument, likewise for Wendy and what she's doing with the Tigers.
Yes, definitely. Like I said, Wendy's a great coach. So is Aaron Burke and the Central staff as well as the Junction staff. I think we got some really good coaches here in the Grand Valley that's real passionate about the game, you know, and we obviously ain't doing it for the pay. But I think we have really strong programs, and what I like about having the competition such as Central on this side, then it shows the Eastern Slope that we know how to play ball down here as well.
Adam Diaz, coach of the Fruto Monument softball team, Fruto Monument Central tonight over at CMU Softball Field Our pregame at 6:45, 7 o'clock. First pitch, Vern McGee, former Central Warriors football coach and assistant for baseball and for football. Of course, part of our broadcast group now, getting his first chance to call some softball tonight. I think Vern did a little bit of play-by-play during JUCO, during our coverage of that. So he'll get a chance to call that one tonight. Should be a good one. Fruit of Monument and Central over at CMU. Once again, our pregame starts at 6:45 tonight on the team. Don't forget, you can also listen to it on our mobile app as well. All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy today, the most surprising game of week one in the NFL season. Send us, is it the Packers playing the way they did against the Saints and losing as badly as they did to the Saints? Was it the Arizona Cardinals going into Tennessee and winning the way they did? The Bengals knocking off the Minnesota Vikings. Last night's game, the Raiders winning in overtime against Baltimore. So send that to us today. Text or call us 970-242-1340. All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, most trusted name in automobiles, and Wyatt Thompson coming up in just a few minutes. He's our college football insider, but time right now for Soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Buckeye?
Well, this is outside of the realm of sports, but still kind of in our wheelhouse a little bit. The Metallica Blacklist is out. The Black Album, 30 years old. They have a big, massive box set.
They were on Jimmy Kimmel the other night.
Yes, they were.
And they played at the Griffith Planetarium. Mm-hmm. What a cool backdrop.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It was really cool to see that. They were making the rounds last week because of the Blacklist. And on other shows, they had Miley Cyrus stand in with them because, as part of the Blacklist, her and Yo-Yo Ma and Chad Smith of the Chili Peppers and Elton John all collaborated to do a cover of Nothing Else Matters. And while they were chatting with Miley, Elton John popped in via Zoom and had this to say about that particular song.
The idea came from Andrew Watt, who produced the track and played guitar on it. And he said, I want you to start the song and finish the song because I don't want it to start with a guitar, because that's how the original record started. And listen, this is one of the best songs ever written to me. I mean, it's just...
Yes.
It's a song that never gets old. And playing on this track, I just couldn't wait because the chord structure, the melodies, the time changes, it's got drama written all over it. And I just thought it was a great idea to start with piano. I have to say, it was a no-brainer playing on this song. It's Metallica are probably the creme de la creme of those kind of bands. You can't really define them. Not a heavy metal band. They're a musical band. Their songs aren't just heavy metal. They're beautiful songs. And this is such a melodic song. It's great, actually.
One of the greatest songs ever written. Elton John said that. And James Hetfield, who wrote it, almost started crying.
Because of that. And your big, tough guy, James Hetfield, got a little teary.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little emotional. Somebody the caliber of Elton John.
That's pretty cool.
Saying that, who's written
some of the
amazing,
greatest songs ever.
Beautiful songs. Saying that to James Hetfield.
I mean, Candle in the Wind is a top 10 song to me. That's one of the greatest songs ever. And for Elton John to say that, that's pretty cool.
Of course, even though Elton doesn't write his stuff, Bernie Taupin does, but Elton, he knows a great song when he hears it, because he has sang plenty of them from Bernie Taupin over the years. Cool stuff. Great.
That's really cool.
So we'll have our first edition of Pole Dancing now that we have week one of the NFL in the books, and it'll be our top covers, along with our top five NFL, top five college as well, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. All right, to text or call the show, 970-242-1340, and coming up in a moment, our college football insider, Wyatt Thompson. The Jim Davis Show is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. After a thrilling opening week to the NFL, week two is here. The fridge is stocked. The recliner is ready. Now, all you need to do is log into FanDuel Sportsbook and claim your risk-free bet. That's right. FanDuel's giving all customers a risk-free bet for week two of the NFL season. Here's some lines to keep an eye on. Philadelphia, San Francisco. Eagles, Jalen Hurts played really well week one. Niners, you mentioned the offensive explosion they had at Detroit this past weekend, Buckeye. Right now, the Niners are a 3.5-point favorite in that game going to Philadelphia. Tell you what, the Eagles, the way they're playing, I kind of like them in that game a little bit. So that's one of many. The Broncos, they're a six-point favorite on the road at Jacksonville on Sunday, too. So those are some of the lines to keep an eye on. And there's over-unders, there's prop bets, there's same-game parlays. There's so many options with FanDuel. You should be checking it out. It's America's number one sports book. The app is amazingly easy to use, and plus you get your payouts fast in as little as 24 hours. So use FanDuel Sportsbook on any Week 2 game. Bet the money line or take the over. Throw some action on a prop bet or build a same-game parlay bet. There are so many ways to play. New to FanDuel Sportsbook? Sign up today with the promo code KTMM to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That promo code is KTMM. 21 and older, present in Colorado, first online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Start winning now with FanDuel.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking college football with the team's insider, Wyatt Thompson, on The Jim Davis Show.
7:42, time to talk some college football with the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. Good morning, Wyatt.
Well, good morning. It must be football season. We've already seen a coach get fired, right?
That's right. So we're into the midst of it with Clay Helton getting fired at USC. I don't think that was any great shock, was it? I mean, I hate to use the term dead coach walking, but he's kind of been even as good as, you know, USC should be with Keaton Slovis at the quarterback spot. That I feel the feeling of underachieving under Clay Helton. Ultimately, that is what's caught up with him.
I don't think there's any question about that. I guess my biggest thing is if you were going to blow him out anyway, do it at the end of last year and move on. What are you doing waiting till now, two games in?
I mean, start fresh, right? I mean, go ahead and, you know, off season, hire a new coach, have them get their system in place, and look, your team beat Stanford, and then Stanford just takes care of business against USC. They have Stanford has a quarterback that was making his first start, played really well, and the then number 14 Trojans fall big time to Stanford, 42-28.
Got to give Stanford a lot of credit. I thought K-State did a really good job of neutralizing their run game, which put a lot of pressure on their two quarterback system. And then during the week, David Shaw says we're going with the youngster, which is the 6'6" McKee kid, who you could tell Jimmy has a lot of talent. I mean, they get a lot of 4- and 5-star guys there, especially a lot of 4-stars. And I think the fan base out there, I don't want to speak for anybody, but it just seemed like that he was kind of the fan favorite. And boy, did he respond, and boy, did they respond. They, after not really getting much done against K-State, to do that was impressive. And any way you cut it.
The biggest upset of the weekend, I think obviously most of us are going to say, sorry, Buckeye, Oregon going into Columbus and beating Ohio State. Let's exclude that game. I think we're all in agreement that one was a shocker.
Yeah.
But for you, what outside of that game, Wyatt, what was the biggest surprise of the weekend for you?
Honestly, after watching A&M beating Colorado and Boulder. And that's going to sound really odd to you and probably your listeners, but with the way that thing went, with A&M losing their quarterback early, for them to find a way, and I think they had some pretty good fortune. Now, they made plays late. I was surprised. I mean, weren't you?
I was surprised the way the Colorado defense.
I was surprised on the front end.
Right.
That A&M didn't win by a little bit more comfortability, I'll say. But all bets are off when you lose your quarterback. That's what happened to K-State, and they were fortunate to beat Southern Illinois.
Right, and we'll talk about Skylar Thompson in a moment. But I think when you look at a lot of people thought, and then the point spread was like 16.5, 17. You know, there are people around here thought, hey, they could lose by 40. One of our colleagues thought that they could lose by 40 to Texas A&M. I was really impressed with the way the Buffs defense played. And look, if Brendan Lewis is a little more seasoned, you know, the Buffs freshman quarterback, maybe that game's different. That's a game that they clearly had in their grasp, and you could tell Carl Durrell was frustrated. They could not get that win because they played their tails off in that one. So I want to get to Skylar Thompson which by the way, no relation, correct? Buckeye was asking me that earlier. No, no relation, not a nephew or anything. But Skyler's had a really tough injury history with Kansas State, and now Skyler Thompson, your quarterback, out again.
Really frustrating for him, certainly. If you go back to last year, he was hurt in game three, had to undergo season-ending surgery, rehabbed and did a great job, came back for a sixth and final season, and then this happens in week two on basically what was a non-contact play. He actually was just trying to get to the outside and try to block for Deuce Vaughn, who was trying for the pylon, and it just, you could, I mean, he kind of planted weird and then did a little hop and went down. And, you know, I've done this a really, really long time, Jim, and I don't know that I've ever seen a more emotional moment on the field. You know, Coach Kleiman is pretty stoic normally. You could see the emotion in his face. I mean, he just was crushed. Fortunately, we got the news, you know, yesterday that it won't be season ending. Thank goodness for that. But it's a pretty big blow. There's no question.
Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, our college football insider, joining us on the program today. So I got to ask you about Notre Dame, because you have, you know, you have Notre Dame that had the wild overtime win against Florida State. They're able to get the win in that one. And then Notre Dame, they struggle against Toledo. Let's give Toledo some credit. They do have a really good offensive football team. But Notre Dame, are we overvaluing or overhyping this Notre Dame football team that Brian Kelly has right now? Because after we saw what happened to Florida State losing to the mighty Jacksonville State Gamecocks, I think we're thinking, okay, with, you know, with McKenzie Milton there, the former Central Florida quarterback, then all of a sudden, hey, maybe Florida State, Mike Norvell's got this program back on track. Then you see that outcome, and you're going, maybe Notre Dame's not as good as we'd like to think they are.
Well, that may be true to a small degree, but I think this is more about, and you use the two instances there where teams that played each other had a spectacular game from my perspective, and then both had a letdown in week two. And that's why I always say it's crazy to be talking about, you know, the playoff teams in September or the Heisman Trophy winner. Enjoy the season. Let it play out. But I know the media is what they are what they are.
We're ruthless, Wyatt. We're just absolutely ruthless.
Well, yeah. And I mean, it's just, I guess my thing is, just relax and let it play out. There's so many ups and downs and swings in this thing, you know? I mean, look at, everybody's just, like, in our league, ripping on Oklahoma State as an example, and they're 2-0. They beat Missouri State at home, and they beat Tulsa at home. Okay, one of those games they played without their starting quarterback. What do you want? They won both games.
And I guess same with Notre Dame. I mean, they you play who you play, and they're 2-0 right now.
Yeah. I mean, would you rather be in Oklahoma State's shoes or Texas' shoes?
Oh, yeah. Texas, who got a little taste of their SEC future, taking on an Arkansas program that's starting to improve. But
dude, did you see that Arkansas rushed for 333 yards?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that should never happen to Texas. They have too many good players. That's ridiculous.
And I think if you're the Big 12, you're certainly, you know, it's a little schadenfreude. You're rejoicing seeing Texas get drilled by Arkansas. But then I think for the prestige of the conference, it was a disappointing loss for Iowa State to Iowa in the Cy-Hawk battle, because Iowa State, Matt Campbell's team with Brock Purdy and, you know, Breece Hall, I mean, there's, you know, they're, you know, a top 10 team. It was a top 10 matchup with Iowa. You know, obviously, you know, a lot of bitter rivalry between these two, but also a top 10 matchup. And to lose that game is a big blow for Iowa State's program in terms of a national perception, but also does not help the Big 12 losing that game to the Big 10.
No, it doesn't in any way, shape, or form. And I think it is simple as this. I think both of those teams are good quality, maybe top 15-ish teams. I haven't seen enough of Iowa yet to say that, hey, throw them in the top 10, they belong there. They may, and I thought they played really well. It's hard to win in Ames, and they did that. But I think anybody that watched the game would tell you there is one reason why Iowa won that game. Turnovers.
Their defense, yeah. Brock Purdy, what, three interceptions in that game? And yeah, their defense played really, really well against Iowa State.
No question. And that's hard to do with the weapons they have, with Purdy and Breece Hall, those tight ends, Tariq Milton. That's a pretty darn good offensive team.
Like they had the big tight end back to the Kolar kid. They had him back. I'm sorry, Wyatt, go ahead.
I just said I picked Iowa, but I thought it would be close. And it wasn't as close, maybe, because of those turnovers. Sorry to step on you there.
But. Oh, no. I my apologies as well. Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, our college football insider, joins us every Tuesday on the program. Then you had the game formerly known as the Holy War, BYU knocking off number 21 Utah. BYU, a soon-to-be member of the Big 12 after the Big 12 made it official last Friday, Wyatt, that Cincinnati, BYU, Central Florida, Houston, all coming in the near future to the Big 12.
I had a couple of people here say, you just can't get away from BYU.
They're like, gum on your shoe for you, Wyatt, whether it's the old Mountain West WAC days or now the Big 12. They always find you again, don't they?
In this particular case, though, I'm perfectly fine with it because, you know, it stings to lose Oklahoma and Texas. You're not going to replace them. But I do think, as we've talked about, BYU brings a national and international brand. I think they bring some value in terms of television dollars. I don't know if you agree with that, but I certainly believe that to be so. So the fact that they're an independent means they could, you know, be a part of this thing in a couple of years, which is exciting. You mentioned the game with Utah. I'm sitting here watching the replay on ESPNU, and as I'm, you know, working on Nevada for this week, and they're just a good football team consistently, and they're all of their programs are good.
And Bob Bowlesby, commissioner of the Big 12, has said, you know, basically has led us to believe this is not it. There might be more on the horizon. What's your sense of that?
Well, I get asked that a lot based on his comments. I don't know that we know either way. But I will say this, I'll just kind of say to you what I've been saying to others in interviews. Would you be wowed if it were Colorado State or Boise State or Army or somebody like that? If not, maybe they won't. If you are, maybe they will. I just don't have a real good feel for that yet. But I think it is a possibility that they would go to 16 someday. How's that?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Right now, I'd like to say it's Colorado State, but after, you know, and look, it's not all based on how they're playing right now, and there are other things that factor in. But if you're looking at the Colorado State football program right now, and if that's the basis of, you know, what we've seen the last couple of years from them, you know, we'll throw out 2020 because of everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know how attractive they're going to be to the Big 12. At this point in time, Wyatt. I mean, it's a far cry when you were there and calling games and Sonny was there and they, you know, they were a perennial top 25 football team. I mean, those days seem like they were ancient history. Pyramids were being built, it seems like, during that period of time, compared to where they are right now. And I don't know how attractive, even with a brand, you know, relatively new stadium and those things, Wyatt, CSU and along with the Denver TV market, how attractive they're going to be to the Big 12 at this point in time.
Yeah, it's a great point, Jim. But I would counter that, and maybe this is my bias, you know, shining through. Let's say that this sounds like I'm going to be cracking on their current coach, but what if they had a coach like Sonny Lubick, who isn't necessarily winning a conference every year, but is going to bowl games and doing some of the things like BYU, Houston, Cincinnati, Central Florida are doing, in that market, with those facilities, with their commitment to athletics, there's more upside than down. Let's say it that way. But that's also true, I think, at some of the other names that have been mentioned. I know the service academies have been mentioned there. I've heard San Diego State. I've heard South Florida. I've heard Boise State. I mean, so there's a lot on the table. And I think in ways, all of them bring something. Will they bring enough? I think that's the real question.
And the Rams, I think, will have, they're going to have a little bit of time here if they can, you know, like the Steve Adazio experiment doesn't work. I mean, there's, I think there's time for them to rebuild their football resume to make, because there's a lot of things. The basketball, men's basketball is good. Women's basketball, volleyball. I mean, they're, a lot of their other sports are pretty strong. Football, though, as we know, it's the one that's the difference maker, and it's going to have to get better the next couple of years, I think, to enhance our chances of maybe going to the Big 12 eventually. Hey, Wyatt, I always appreciate it. Thank you so much, and best of luck with the call, Kansas State, Nevada, coming up on Saturday.
I appreciate that, and tell the Buckeye boy to hang in there. It's a long season.
You okay there, Buckeye? He's welfare. He's doing a welfare check on you. He still doesn't believe it happened. Why? Monday, he was like,
it's 28-21 Ohio State last I saw.
Yeah, that it didn't happen. That Ohio State won. That's the way.
I counted it up myself.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you, I was as stunned as anybody. I'm just being honest. Stunned.
I think there were a lot of folks, particularly at Columbus on Saturday, that were stunned. Hey, Wyatt, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Wyatt Thompson.
A great breakdown in The Athletic about how Ohio State defense, that Ryan Day mandates that Kerry Combs can't run, has got to change.
I mean, that was a devastating loss on Saturday, no doubt about it. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Hour two on the way on the Jim Davis Show on the team. You can also listen to us online at theteam1340.com.